Welcome to Demystify Magic with Molly and Madison.
I'm Molly, a former skeptic turned full-time energy healer and teacher.
And I'm Madison, a born and raised witch running my family's crystal shop.
And we're here to explore all things woo through the lens of both science and spirituality so that you can find the moments of magic in your everyday life and create an intentional spiritual practice.
So if that's what you're into, find a cozy spot, take a deep breath, and let's demystify some magic.
Howdy doody, friends.
Howdy doody. I almost just didn't press record. I'm going to be so honest.
It's that kind of day. We're like knee deep in the shadow of Mercury retrograde. We're reeling from an eclipse. We both had a chaotic weekend.
We had a chaotic weekend going into a chaotic attempt to record this episode this morning where I really thought it wasn't going to happen. I have never seen the spinny wheel of death so many times in a row on my computer.
I just want to point out real quick that we were trying to figure this out for like 10, 15 minutes. And then I said, I'm going to light my Mercury retrograde candle. And then it immediately worked. So if you haven't ordered one, we're going to put that in the show notes for you.
You really did, Molly, save the day with that one.
All right. But today we are talking about low effort kitchen witchery, which is, wait, what oil are you using right now? I need to know.
I was putting on creativity and inspiration because it's what sits by my computer where we record, and I forgot to put it on before we started.
Classic.
I kind of forgot you could see me. I was like, what?
It's going to be one of those episodes, y'all.
We did minor piddling before this. All of our piddle time was taken up by technical difficulties.
Anyway, low-effort kitchen witchery, which is something that you all know that I'm very into if you follow me on the Instagram. But as two people with ADHD, I don't know about you, Madison, but I feel like turning my food into spells helps me remember to eat.
Mm-hmm. Oh, big time. I am not great about eating at home. I don't know. Other people who live alone, tell me if I'm like over-exaggerating or making excuses for myself, but it is so hard to cook for one. Mm-hmm. I can't do it. Unless I give myself added motivation of like, no, this is ritual work. This is spell work. Yeah. Like, this is good for you on multiple levels.
And you're not a leftover person, right?
It depends. Yeah. I am particular, unfortunately.
Yeah. Yeah. Same.
It's the worst.
All right. Before we dive in, Madison, what was your magic moment of the week?
I think you all already know where I'm going with this, but Spellcrafter had its grand opening this past weekend. And it was the best, like just the best. And really, like, that's a magic moment in itself. But the real magic moment for me came the week before. So if you haven't been listening for very long, you might not know, but Spellcrafter came together very quickly. Mm-hmm. And when I tell you it didn't exist maybe like 6-8 months ago, like, that's how quickly everything like fell into place in a really weird, divinely guided way. And so that left a lot of room for previous plans to get in the way. And the long story short is that my boyfriend and I booked a non-refundable trip for the week before the grand opening.
Classic.
Very classic. I got home on the 19th and the grand opening was on the 23rd. And I was a mess about it. Was like very, very stressed out, as one could assume. Also, you might be sitting there wondering, Madison, you had full control over when the grand opening was. Why did you put it that way? And it was truly because there was no better time. Like, that was the day that worked for everybody else. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, okay, like, you're just going to suck it up, buttercup. And it's just, you know, like, once you have the space, like, we just had to get it going. Like, mm-hmm. You know, if you wait for it to be perfect, you're going to be waiting forever. And so I was like, okay, I just have to do it in this difficult time. And it was such – now looking back, I can see that it was really – it had to be that way because I had to learn that lesson of that I can trust people. Mm-hmm. And that really everything is going to be fine. Anthony, who you guys have heard me talk about, is the manager at Spellcrafter. And he is amazing. And I love him so much. I'm so grateful for him because he really just like – made it happen.
We love Anthony.
He and my mom and Rachel and Lance, if you're listening, who work for the store, just like really, really pulled it out for me. And the love that everyone has put into this project was really palpable in the room over the weekend. And I got to see so many people that I love. All of my friends came down, made the trek. I have a friend who was like up north, like in northern Florida, and like drove down to come see it and surprise me yesterday. It was just like, it was so good. It was such a good time and a lesson that I had to learn. And I'm very grateful for it because I almost canceled and just like took the L on what we'd spent. And I'm very glad I didn't, because I think it felt like my baby moon.
Yeah.
Of like, I'm on vacation before I have this thing that's going to change my life forever.
I love that.
What was your magic moment?
My magic moment feels like it happened eons ago. It was really like a week and a half ago, but we haven't recorded in a little while. And it was so exciting in the moment. And now it just feels like real life. Mm-hmm. But so I've talked about this on the podcast before. I hadn't even realized till someone pointed it out to me. But like the end of last year, I talked about how I'm pretty sure I'm going to write a book this year. And that's happening. That's happening. I had someone reach out to me who is a literary agent. Get this. Okay. This is like my perfect manifestation. I don't know how this person found me. Actually, I do. It's because of this podcast. So she's a listener on the podcast and a literary agent who specializes in like spirituality books and social justice books, which is like the, like if I were to draw a Venn diagram of my interest, that would be the center of it. And so she reached out to me and she was like, have you ever thought about writing a book? And I was like, have I? I've already got the ideas. And pitched her a couple of ideas and she was on board with them. And so I am in the middle of writing a proposal for what will be my first book. And that's a thing that's happening. She thinks it'll happen really quick. And then it'll take like 15 months to 2 years before you can read it. But I'm excited about it.
Whoa! And the crowd goes wild.
I'm so excited about it because like a lot of my life, like the dreams I've had for my life have changed over the years. But two things have always been on my list. And I remember because I used to carry a caution tape wallet when I was in high school that I made, and in it, my bucket list. And it had like random things on it. But the two that have always been on my goals is to publish a book and go on tour. Now, I thought it would be like Warped Tour when I was a kid.
Mm-hmm.
But now I see it's going to be a book tour. So coming to a city near you in 2 years.
I can't wait. And if you don't put Spellcrafter on that list.
Oh, you're already on the list. I was like,
we're beefing.
I'm gonna write you into my proposal. Are you kidding?
Do I get to write the foreword?
Maybe. Maybe. You're definitely gonna be the first shop to sell it.
No, I just want one good little footnote. I wanna be able to highlight write one little this is my bestie.
But yeah, so that's exciting. I have ideas, like I know what the book is going to be. I know what my second book is going to be because I've been planning these for a while, but I don't want to share too much because obviously like through the proposal process and the publishing process, things can change. And so you will hear updates as I have updates that I'm able to share. So yay!
Yay! The most magic of magic moments this week, huh?
Dude, yeah. It happened the day before my birthday, too. So I was like, all right. Mm-hmm. Sign received.
32 is going to be a big year.
Yeah, I was like, I know what I'm doing for my 32th year.
32nd my 32th
year.
For my 32th year.
It's almost as good as a Fine Fart Fest.
Uh-huh. We're not well known for our enunciation over here. Or our pronunciation. All right, let's talk about Kitchen Witchy. And there I go.
There we go.
That was well timed. That was excellently timed. Let's talk about Kitchen Witchery.
Let's.
All right. I keep panicking thinking I'm not recording. So every time I am not talking, it's because I'm obsessively watching my GarageBand.
We have the candle burning. We're fine.
We have the candle burning. We're fine. Everything's great.
Everything's great. Everything's great.
All right. First up is something that you've heard us talk about day in and day out. It's coffee and tea spells.
Coffee and tea spells.
This is one of my favorite ways. Yes.
I don't know why I background vocaled you.
Some might say this podcast is your tour because you do be singing. And you are all around the world singing in people's ears.
You're welcome.
If you are someone who has a beverage of any kind in the morning, this is the easiest way, in my opinion, to impart your day, like start with a little bit of magic. And that for me sets the tone for the rest of the day. If I prioritize it in the morning, then the rest of my day is just infused with that intention. Not only the intention that I put in the coffee, but like my greater intention to have more magic and have a spiritual practice that is more embedded in my daily life.
Yeah, same. Same. You could do this lots of different ways. You know, we've talked about stirring sigils or symbols into your coffee. You could even stir a word into your coffee, like stir each letter into your coffee to set your intention for the day. You could do this by adding different flavors and magical correspondence to your coffee. Right now, I'm on a big churro coffee kick. So I've been making my own churro syrup because otherwise I will literally go broke at Dunkin' Donuts. If you didn't know, they have a churro latte and it's really good. It's really good. But I've made my own and it's better. And so when I make my syrup, I set my intention while I'm making it. I make it like once every 2 weeks and then I just pour it in. And I'm like, great, I'm going to have an abundant day. What kind of abundance do I want? Stir that in. Right? Abundance of creativity, abundance of energy, abundance of money. The other day it was an abundance of snow. I did not wish for that. That was not on me. If you're in Maine, that was not my fault.
You heard it here first. Molly brought that snow.
No, I didn't. I did ask for an abundance of rest.
The lady doth protest too much.
I did ask for an abundance of rest and then the power went out for 12 hours and I was like,
Well, there we go. Something else that I love about coffee specifically is as an ingredient, it's like made to speed things up.
Yeah.
And so you can even bring coffee into other spell work, even if it's like outside of kitchen witchery or like, you know, a coffee rub on a piece of meat or something like a marinade. I know a lot of people use coffee to cook.
Coffee scrub.
So, yes, also a coffee scrub. I will dress a candle with some ground up coffee if I want things to move quickly.
I have coffee in my money bowl.
Same.
Love that. And you can do the same thing with tea. If you're a tea person, you can look up whatever your favorite tea is. Look up the maginal.
The maginal.
What is wrong with me?
I don't know. Something is... It's the shadow period and this eclipse.
It's rough,
I live
y'all.
In fear.
It's rough,
I live
y'all.
In fear. I'm going back to bed after this.
I know. Same. Anyways, you can look up the magical correspondence of whatever your tea is if you drink tea in the morning or orange juice or milk or water, whatever you drink.
One of our new employees at Spellcrafter used to work for a tea shop. Her first day is literally tomorrow, but she came in on Saturday like just to say hi and she was back behind the apothecary like I was showing her around and someone started asking questions and so she just started answering them and I was like, oh, I'm going to learn so much from you about herbs and tea. I cannot wait.
Maybe we should do a whole episode.
We probably should.
Let us know if you want an episode on tea and herbs from someone that is an expert, not us.
Yeah. And if you're an expert, hit us up.
Hit us up. All right, the next one, which I have been really loving. So I am someone that I have a food fixation of the week. Okay, right now it is breakfast tacos. Right? That's my food fixation of the week. And so what I do is whatever that food is that I'm making like every single day, I turn it into a magic spell. So I'll look up like the magical properties of beans and eggs and tortillas or corn, you know, whatever the tortilla is made out of. And, you know, peppers and whatever, and then make my own little spell recipe out of the thing that I'm eating every day. And it just makes it a little bit more magical than like, great, I'm having the same eggs and beans and tortilla every single morning for the 15th day in a row.
Yeah. And I will even do this with food that I haven't cooked, like that I bought somewhere else. I will, like, my hyperfixation food of my life is a Chipotle burrito bowl. Oh, sorry.
Damn it.
What were you going to guess?
I was going to guess the potato salad. Wait,
what?
Or coleslaw? What was the one that you got the big tub of?
Oh.
Was it potato salad?
No, it's chicken salad.
Yeah, it's all the same.
The Southerners who listen will know about a chicken salad chick. And that is a sprinkled in hyperfixation food. Honestly, chicken salad is a great thing to do it with.
Tell us.
Just because there are so many different varieties of chicken salad. And so I'm being so serious. Okay. I don't know why you're laughing.
Tell me. I'm not laughing. Tell me. Okay. This is serious.
Those who don't know about a chicken salad chick.
This is a serious podcast, y'all.
This is a very serious podcast about chicken salad. I actually don't know for sure that it's only a Southern thing, but it is very Southern coded. Like everything, like the bathroom, I'm so sorry. This is like such a chaotic episode, but the bathroom of a chicken salad chick, I actually will have to take you even though you can't eat a single thing in a chicken salad chick so you can go to the bathroom because it's like covered in these weird quotes about like about like being ladylike or whatever. It is the last everyone I walk in, I'm like, you know, covered in tattoos, and it's all these older Southern women who like turn their heads and they're like, what are you doing in my sacred place, my sacred chicken salad chick, as I'm loading up on tubs of chicken salad.
So making chicken salad into a magic spell.
Anyways,
how do you do that?
I just have to say that I don't condone the chicken salad chick messaging, maybe. I don't really know. But they have like 20 different kinds of chicken salad,
mm-hmm,
with a wide variety of ingredients.
Okay.
And so my favorite one is called Laura's Lemon Basil. This is all my long con for a chicken salad chick sponsorship. Chicken salad chick, if you're listening.
This podcast is brought to you by
what I wouldn't give. It's called Laura's Lemon Basil, and it has, as one might guess, lemon and basil.
Uh-huh. I'm with you.
And so I have had the thought to myself before as I've eaten my chicken salad of like, oh, this is a really great cleansing spell that I'm consuming right now. And I didn't even have to make it.
It's true. This is not a laughable situation. This is very true.
This is very serious.
I do that too, though. When I go out to eat, I'm like, this is a blank spell.
Yeah, just like taking note. And so if mm-hmm. you have a hyperfixation food, find the place that does it in like 10 to 15 different ways.
Mm-hmm.
With a bunch of different ingredients. It doesn't have to be chicken salad chick unless chicken salad chick pays me, in which case highly condone it.
What if they pay you in just tubs of chicken salad?
I would take it, is my truth. It's so good. And they give you a little cookie with every meal. But anyways, the lesson here is to, if you do hyperfixate on a food that way, or like if you have a classic staple,
mm-hmm.
that is such an easy way to impart magic on it, is to like take stock of what is in that food.
Yeah.
Give, you know, do a little bit of research, find what those ingredients might correspond with.
Mm-hmm.
And just bringing that intention into it, even if you didn't make the food yourself, that you can still bring that intention in that way.
This also helps me because I'm notoriously, it's very hard for me to find foods I can eat because I don't eat meat, I don't eat dairy, and most of the time I don't eat gluten because my tummy. And so if I go to a restaurant that has like more than three options, I get overwhelmed. Like when you and I went to that place that was like all vegan and they had like a bunch of gluten-free things, I was like, oh my God, oh, what do I get? And so then
what am I gonna order?
Yeah, so I'll think about like, okay, what kind of energy do I need? I think I got like a spicy Korean barbecue thing because in my head I was like, mm-hmm. I have to drive 2.5 hours and it's really late. And so I need like a little bit of energy. So I'll get mm-hmm. something spicy.
Yes.
So it helps me make choices.
Mm-hmm. And not to bring it back to my chicken salad, but that now that I think about it, I'm so sorry. I do, like, that is what I crave. Molly's laughing so hard. I'm being so serious. I'm having a real revelation and Molly's laughing at me. Just, I want it on the record.
I'm not laughing.
Molly's laughing at me.
I'm laughing at me.
That's something that I crave on really hectic work days.
Ooh, interesting.
Right? Oh. That I, like, when I need that cleansing energy.
Wow. Wait, that's not funny. That's really deep.
Very serious podcast.
Chicken Salad Chick, slide into our DMs. Our email's in the show notes.
Everybody tag Chicken Salad Chick.
Oh, God. That leads us into our next one. You might be wondering already, like, okay, how do I know what the magical intentions or correspondence are to all these things? Like, how do you figure that out? So something that I always recommend is to go through your spice drawer and your tea cabinet and start to look up the things that you already use on a regular basis, because you're going to be more likely to remember them, right? If you never, for instance, somebody asked me like about allspice the other day, what are the magical correspondents? I was like, I haven't thought about allspice in my entire life. I have no idea. I'm going to have to look that up. Cloves, I can tell you cloves. I can tell you cinnamon. I can tell you salt. I can tell you garlic. I can tell you onion. I can tell you peppers, right? Like I can tell you almonds, oats, right? Off the back of my hand, because those are things I use. And I will. And I have. Those are things I use every single day. And mm-hmm. So it's so much easier for you to start to learn and remember them with the things that you already use. I even go so far as to make yourself a little encyclopedia or straight up label your spices. I know some people have like made labels that say like abundance and healing and cleansing or whatever, or like I just write them down. I just write them down in like a, I guess you could do that in like your book of shadows or whatever. I do the pile of sticky notes. That is not the best, but
everybody's favorite method, pile of sticky notes.
Yeah. But I know that you and I have the same favorite reference book. It's Scott Cunningham's Encyclopedia of Magical Herbs, which Madison sells in her shop. So we will leave a link to that down below. But I just got two more of Cunningham's books that are also like kitchen witchery that I haven't really dived into too deeply, but have been liking so far. So pretty much anything by him is great.
Yeah, I really do just keep that on hand and like highlight what I use a lot. Mm-hmm. I've used that so much in all versions of my spell work, kitchen witchery. That's what I even use to like make our candles.
Yeah, yeah. And I like it too because you can look up by the herb. So if you're standing in front of your spice jar, you can look up each spice alphabetically. Mm-hmm. But then you can also flip to the back and in the index it has like prosperity spells, dream work mm-hmm. spells, intuition spells. Like you can look up luck and then see like a whole list of them. And so that's often what I'll do is like, you know, look up, okay, I want to make a simmer pot for luck, or I want to make a breakfast spell for luck or whatever. And then I'll see the list and I'll go like, oh, I have basil or whatever. Then I flip to basil and like read more about it. So it's a really user-friendly way to start to get to know the ingredients that you already use every day.
Yeah, big fan.
Big fan.
All right.
Big fan.
Next on our list is something that I'll be so honest, I thought of the idea as we were making this list of what we should talk about for this episode. But I will, as soon as we are finished doing this, be implementing this because I'm very excited about it. Putting sigils on your ingredients. So like the spices in your spice drawer.
Mm.
If you want to give a little extra oomph, this is definitely like being a little extra.
Mm.
So this is maybe what I would call like medium effort, right? Because it you know, I have a lot of spices. It's a lot of sigils to make. But if you, you know, like if you use salt all the time, obviously.
Salt for protection.
Making a little protection sigil
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
and drawing it on the bottle for mm-hmm. that extra added layer.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's so fun. And then if you are a person who like likes when things look a little witchy, how fun is it to open your spice drawer
yeah.
and just see sigils on sigils on sigils?
Oh, you know what also I'm thinking about? Like if you have sigils already that you work with and you know their meaning to, that's how you can get to know your spices, right? The ones that are for protection, you could put the protection sigil on. The ones that are for abundance, mm-hmm. you could put the abundance sigil on. Like for people who are more visual, mm-hmm. that could be helpful. Or you could draw the sigil in color magic. So take a pen or a nail polish. Oh my God, you have to sneeze into the microphone. We said people, we told people we would let them hear you.
Really?
Remember?
We told people that?
Yeah.
No.
You said oh, next sorry, time I everyone. Have to sneeze, I would sneeze into the mic because your weird mouse sneeze.
Not my weird mouse sneeze. God.
I love your weird mouse sneeze.
Sorry. Sorry, everyone. Maybe next time.
Go get some pepper.
They usually come in spells like that, so I'm sure I'll have another one coming soon.
But you can draw a sigil in color magic to remember the correspondence too. That could be fun.
Oh, I love that.
You could also stir sigils into your soup.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I know we've talked about that before because you told me to do that once and now it's all I do.
Uh-huh. Kitchen witchery is really my favorite way to use a sigil.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's so easy and like obviously non-permanent because you're drawing it into something that you're going to eat. I, as a bad handwriting girly, I am much less likely to write a sigil on something because I will mess it up 18 times. And so doing it into a soup or into my coffee, like that is so easy for me because if I mess it up, I literally will just take my spoon and go like, like a race with my spoon and be like, one more time.
Yeah. And a lot of times people ask me, how do you make something that someone else made for you witchy or like add that magical component to it? And the sigil's great. You know, you have your fork, your spoon, whatever, you could draw the sigil over it. If it's like a salad or something and you can't like really stir it. If it's like rice, you could stir it right
a
in.
A chicken salad, maybe? You open that door right for me. I can't believe you didn't even see it. Like, I can't believe
your face.
I can't believe you were surprised.
I was like, what is she going to say?
You laid it out for me on a silver platter.
A silver platter of chicken salad chick.
I'm going to have to get it for lunch today.
You are. You are. Little tree magic.
I'll keep you all updated on what flavor I choose.
Oh, okay. Next one. Now we're just going to divert to like kind of really witchy, weird, but kind of fun things that
yes.
I personally have done both of these. One of them is to keep crystals in your fridge or with your spices or with your ingredients. I have crystals in my pantry just hanging out in there.
I love this idea. I can't believe I have never thought of it until you said it. These both, this one and the next one, I'm like, oh, these are excellent ideas that I've never thought of, especially if you are like a crystals as decor person, like bringing just a couple onto your kitchen counter that are like pretty and nice. It looks like it's decor.
Yeah.
But it's witchcraft.
Yeah.
It's both.
Also, I can't prove this, but I think we should do an experiment because I use rose quartz in my plants to keep them alive longer and it really works. I'm wondering if keeping a rose quartz in my produce drawer will keep my lettuce longer.
Ooh.
Guess what I'm doing.
Give it a little extra love. I can't wait. I can't wait. I'll buy a head of lettuce and I'll keep it in my fridge with no rose quartz.
Perfect. Perfect.
And we'll compare.
I love it. I love it. And then the next one is real silly, but it works really well. I, a couple of weeks ago, made a spell jar to help me decide what to eat. I actually made a video of it over on my Instagram, so maybe we'll link that in the show notes if we can find it. But it's literally like a spell jar to help me decide what to eat. And I keep it in my fridge. And anytime I don't know what to eat, I shake it. And to be honest with you, I've had lunch every single day since I made that, which is not usual for me.
Wow.
Usually I get too overwhelmed to make lunch and just skip it and then regret it a couple hours later. But it's maybe my favorite spell jar I've ever made. And no one has asked about it. It looks very witchy. It's like covered in wax and there's a big old sigil on top. Not a single person has noticed it.
That's so funny.
Highly recommend.
Where are you keeping it that no one's seeing it? I have questions.
It's in my my fridge has a beverage center.
Wow. Okay.
Which is like a door that like opens in half and you can see all the beverages and it's got like the water thingy. Yeah. Yeah. I know. But then you can open the full door and the behind the beverage center is a tiny little shelf. And that's where I keep like my coffee creamer and my retinol. Classic.
All the important things.
The retinol I never use because it's in the fridge. And
I was just about to ask how full that thing is.
Keep my spell jar right there.
You need to put a nighttime treat in there with the retinol so you remember that it's there.
I know, but my truth is I do my skincare after I brush my teeth. So I just got a retinol that I don't have to keep in the fridge.
So just an extra just in case lives in the fridge.
Yeah.
In case you want something nice and cooling.
Yeah.
I love that. All right. Last on our list of this very, very chaotic episode. Lots of twists and turns. We're finally reaching our final destination. Last on our list is to Reiki your food. And this is one of my favorite things that I learned from you in Reiki 1.
Mm-hmm.
As a way to impart like small moments of Reiki. I do it to my water all the time.
Mm-hmm.
But just like a minute, not even sometimes, I'll literally just be like, okay, 5 seconds of Reiki. Mm-hmm. Here we go. Time to eat, you know?
Yeah.
It's such a really, like, it really is a great grounding moment for me.
Can I geek out about the science?
Please, I would love it.
So, okay. There is a link between chronic stress and IBS and other digestive issues, because when you are in the stress response, right, we've talked about your brain thinks you're being chased by a tiger. If you were actually running for your life from a tiger, you wouldn't be worried about digesting your lunch. Okay, so all of that energy from your digestion go towards keeping you alive. Reiki, as we've talked about in the past in our How Reiki Works episode, shifts your nervous system out of that survival response into the relaxation response. And so when you do even just like a minute or two of Reiki on your food, you actually digest better because you're coming out of that tiger response. So your digestion has more energy going to it because it's no longer going towards survival. And then when you start to make that a routine, now your brain starts to make that association between, oh, when I sit down to eat, I take a deep breath and I settle and I'm not being chased by a tiger. And so if you are someone who has digestive issues, which I know so many of you do because we have talked about it in the DMs, try it for yourself, just a minute or two. I usually do like 3 to 5 breaths. That's like my go-to. I don't really like time myself, but just enough that you can feel yourself settle into that relaxation response. Guarantee you, it'll help you digest better.
Okay, it's so funny that you say that. I can't believe we haven't, I'm sure we have talked about this, but I just don't think it like really fully absorbed for me. I used to be on medication for IBS that I had to stop taking because of like insurance issues. Like when I changed insurance, like wasn't covered anymore and neither was my gastro, like whatever. I just couldn't go to the doctor anymore for my IBS. And I haven't missed that medication. Like I really struggled with not having it at first. And this was like, I think I knew you, but like I definitely hadn't done your training. It was like when I was living in New York. So I think we were like tertiary friends. I haven't felt like I needed that medication or wanted to go back to the gastro since I met you.
Hey. Ooh.
A testimonial.
The wait list is in the show notes. If you want to join the wait list for the next training, doors will open in August.
Big fan.
But yeah, just that little moment, even if it's not Reiki, if it's just taking a couple of deep breaths, if you don't know how to do Reiki, that works too. But I just love Reiki because of that immediate shift out of that survival response makes such a big difference in the way that we eat and digest and live.
Love to see it.
Love it.
And that's our list.
That's our list.
Let us know, please slide into our DMs and let us know how you bring kitchen witchery into your practice, what your favorite ingredients are, your favorite kind of kitchen witchery spells, if you have any great recipes. And let me know if you know what a chicken salad chick is.
Yeah, and what your order is.
I would love to try it.
And if you know anyone on their marketing team.
Mostly that one. All right.
Until next time.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to Demystify Magic with Molly and Madison. If you want to learn more about us, you can find all our links in the show notes.
We'd love to know what you think of today's episode, so drop us a review or give us a shout out on social media. And don't forget to let us know your magical moment of the week. Okay, love you.
Bye.